Let's worship the Lord, church. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ezekiel chapter 30, verses 13 through 16 will be the only verses that I read. Ezekiel chapter 30, verses 13 through 16. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause their images to cease out of Noph. And there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt. And I will put a fear in the land of Egypt. And I will make Pathros desolate. And I will set fire in Zoan. And will execute judgments in No. And I will pour my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt. And I will cut off the multitude of No. Verse 16, and I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, and No shall be rent asunder, and Noph shall have distresses daily. Hallelujah. Before church, I had two other messages, but I was sitting back there, and I saw Sister Coffee over there, and she fell on her knees, began to pray. When she did, the Spirit fell on me. And the Lord told me to go over here to these scriptures and go ahead and preach to you just a real short message. If it goes long, well, it's beyond my thinking. But the Bible tells us tonight, the text that we had read from, that there are two cities that were inhabitants there in the land of Egypt. And there was one, if you'll notice, one city is called No, capital N-O, No. And there happened to be another city called Sin, capital S, amen, which tells me that these are proper nouns. These are actually names of cities that were there in the land of Egypt. And these two cities were powerful cities in the land of Egypt. And if you know, I tried to study these out, and all I could find was just a little bit about them. So I'm just going to tell you, and I'm going to go ahead and preach. Amen, because I believe tonight, praise God, that the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen, I believe there's some folks that need to pray and get saved. Amen, folks that maybe have been saved, but maybe need to pray. Amen, while the presence of the Lord is here. But I found out that these two cities here were dependent upon one another. Sin was a mighty city. And they were a military city, a militant city, and they depended upon another city called No. Amen. If any, I guess they had a contract, had some type of treaty, that if some foreign adversary came in, some other country, some other army happened to come in into the land of Egypt, there seemed to be, there had to have be help there for the city of Sin. Sin could not stand alone without the city of No, and vice versa. There was another city called No, and No happened to be a city that could not stand alone. No could not stand during a time of militant attack. Or any type of military attack. They had to have another city. And so from what my eye have read, I could be wrong, from the little bit that I could understand, from the little bit of reading that I have, amen, I could only see that No could only stand when Sin was standing by their side. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something, my friend. These two, when they were together, they were an awesome power, and they could not, amen, be defeated. But if you could get one of those cities alone, they could be defeated. You see, the scriptures tell us that God finally said judgment had to come upon these two cities. God was absolutely sick of Egypt, and he knew that he had to take care of these two cities. The only way that Egypt could be rightfully judged, truthfully judged, was to be dealt with by their cities of Sin and of No. Amen. Oh, I like to tell you tonight, this may be short and sweet, but I feel the prophetic utterance of God on me tonight, that I know tonight that there's people that sit in our churches, amen, that have sin in their lives. And the only reason why we folks, amen, claim to have holiness and the anointing of God can't get them to the altars is because they reject by saying no to the power of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God's word. I want to tell you something, my friend. I believe that God is sick, amen, with rejection. He's sick of people saying no. So if the Lord would just help me just for a few minutes, I want to preach that God is sick of no. If you would stretch forth your hands this way and pray. Oh, God, help us tonight. Oh, God, help us, Lord, tonight. Oh, God, help us, Lord, tonight. Hey, man, several weeks ago, many of you have heard about the Columbine shooting. Many of you have heard different things, and many stories have gone out across the media and down through mouth. And you know, most of the time stories can, actually get to the place where they're kind of twisted, and maybe the next person is kind of misinformed with maybe some extra detail to the story. But I had heard that Rachel Joy Scott, the one that was shot, one of the first ones to be shot at Columbine High, her daddy is going across the country, and he, from what I understand, the Lord has led him to go around to all the high schools across the country where the doors open, and he speaks to all the young people. And he has a wonderful story of how God, under all the masquerade and the militant doings of Dylan and Eric, I believe their names are, that God had a wonderful work going on there. But he was going to be in Valdosta, which is about 25 miles south of us on 75. So we went on down 75, and I got a babysitter for the boy because we knew we couldn't really get in and understand a lot of stuff and pay attention if he was with us. So we got a babysitter for him and went to go hear him. And what a setup it was. It was nice. It was great. All the crosses, that was super. But I wanted to hear the story. And when the man took the stage, he went ahead and let us know that he wasn't a preacher, but he felt led of the Lord to go across the country and let people know exactly what happened at Columbine High School. I've been speaking a lot about this because I felt the night when I heard this man that the Lord wanted me to go to some of our holiness churches and let people know some of the real things that happened. But I really believe that, I'm not going to go through all of it tonight, but I really believe that according to what Mr. Scott has said, that innocent lives were dealt with there at Columbine High School. Those young people were put to death because of two young men who absolutely were, I believe, possessed of devils, possessed of demons. And you can reject that if you want, but I believe they were. And from all the things that he had said, But from what I understand from the area that they live, there's, you know, they have a lot of churches in that area. And the school there, there at the Columbine High School, help me to preach tonight, please, pray for me. But they just felt like they needed to have a prayer group. And now listen, folks, tonight, I understand they're not holiness. But hey, folks, if they're going to pray, thank God. Amen. It's going to have a prayer group. And they got a prayer group going, and Mr. Scott said that it was the largest prayer group in all Colorado and all the high schools. And they got to praying, and their main prayer was this, that God would use Columbine High School to bring a revival to all the young people. That was their desire. That was their prayer. That was their goal, and that was their motive of that prayer group, that God would use their sincerity and their prayers to reach the young people of this country. And so that's what God, I guess, went ahead and did. Used some willing vessels. Amen. But Brother Scott, wherever he might be, he got up there and he told the story how some of these young people, they had an experience with God. One of them was Cassie. I don't know her last name right now. She was the one that most people know about. She's the one, she took the bullet, you know, the shotgun shot to the head when she went ahead and confessed, yes, I do believe in God. But that's a long story in that. She was a young lady who was brought up good in a Baptist home, but she happened to be one that rebelled and got into witchcraft and got into drugs and got into a rebellious attitude as a teenager. But thank God she went to I don't know what type of retreat that it might have been, but I really believe because she changed and was delivered from the satanic hold that she had on her life, And she came back fresh and anew, and she was in Bible study every week, searching the scriptures and writing a diary. She was one of them that we know. But the other one was Rachel Joy Scott, a young girl that she was going to a Christian school, and she felt in her daily prayer life that the Lord wanted her to drop the Christian school and go to the public school system to be an absolute testimony and a witness for Jesus Christ. She went ahead and by her permission of her daddy, she went on over to Columbine High School, and she was pretty popular. But after a while, they began to see that there was something different about her. She got to praying and gotten to seeking God. Amen. And she wrote a daily journal or a diary, and she wrote how her growth in Christ began to progress and grow in God. Amen. And it was just ironic, many of the things that she had written in there. But we had found out later on that down through time, several weeks before the massacre took place, amen, but Rachel Joy Scott had witnessed to many people. Within her journal, she said, Lord, amen, a lot of people, and it's not in these exact words. I wish I had her journal. You can get these copies if you want them. I'll get the information too if you want it. But she said, Lord, she said, if it takes me losing my friends, if it takes me losing all those who have been with me since childhood, if it takes all of my enemies to push me around the hallways, then that's what it's going to have to take to serve the Lord. Amen. I know holiness young girls or older ladies that have long hair to the floor that don't have that type of dedication. Come on. Amen. Amen. But we need it all. Praise God. But she went on to school and she began to be a witness daily. I mean, day after day after day. And 2 weeks before the shooting, she wrote in her journal, amen, that she had witnessed to a couple of many people. I don't know specifically if it was about Eric and Dylan, but she said that every time she tried to witness, people would shun her and turn her away. She said, but Lord, if that's what it takes to get closer to you. How many young people do we have in the Highway of Holiness Church tonight that's willing to lose all their friends for the cause of Jesus Christ? You see, she was willing to be a vessel for the Lord. Amen. But after a while, after she got to witnessing and testifying and passing out tracts in the hallway, she happened to run across Eric and Dylan. And not really knowing them, she told them that they needed a Christ. They needed a Savior. They needed to be saved. They needed to give their hearts to the Lord. And they absolutely went ahead and just rejected and said, no, I don't need it. No, I don't have to have it. Hell, I don't have to have anything like that. You're crazy. You're a loony. And not knowing what was going on in their lives, the Lord used her in their lives to plant a seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Later on, she writes in her journal, and she says, matter of fact, she was 2 weeks before, she said, Lord, who shall walk down the halls of tragedy with me? Oh, after she prayed, the Lord inspired her that something was going to happen in her life. Another journal writing, she said, Lord, I wish you would use me. I don't know how, but I wish you would use me to reach young people across the country to know more about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And later on, her daddy said, she came down into the kitchen and she said, Daddy, I know the Lord's going to use me somehow to reach this generation, but I just don't know how. I wish he would hurry up. And he said all he could remember was that, sweetie, honey, sugar, plum, I love you a lot. I want to tell you something. If you feel that in your heart, the Lord's going to use you. And not knowing what was going to happen in a few weeks, amen, she began to write more things. And she got more intent. More things began to go into her journal that was more inspiration of the Spirit of God. And later on, she wrote down in pen, she said, Lord, I have everything that I need. Thank you for my growth. Thank you for my experience. Thank you, which was the last words in her journal. And then the day when she went to school, when she was going down the hallway, it's just supernatural what God was about to do. As she was walking down the hallway, she went to a young boy who she had been talking to for several days. Went to him. He was handicapped. His face was pulled up. She noticed that a lot of students in the high school were calling him alien and different type of grotesque names, where the young boy didn't even feel like he had an identity or if he was any special thing in the world. But she went up to him several times and told him that Jesus loved him. That 20 minutes before, or several minutes before she died, she was passing him in the hallway and she placed her hand upon his shoulder. And she said, whenever his name was, I don't know his name, but she said, I want to go out to eat dinner with you after school. I want to hear your story, and then I want to tell you more about the Lord. And then he began to cry, and he said, Rachel, I don't believe that you're going to be able to talk to me after school. And he began to cry. And it was just a real crazy feeling, they said, around her and different ones. Well, anyway, she went on and she was going down the hallway, and all of a sudden she felt an inspiration. Her friend who survived the massacre was walking with her, and she said, I feel like writing something or drawing something. So they said, okay. She walked over to the library and she began to draw a picture. And she drew a picture of eyes that were crying with tears that were coming down the page. And so she did that and she gave it to her friend, and her friend said, no, put it in your notebook. Then she was going down the hallway, and her brother was in the library, and they're doing some homework. And she went on down the hallway. She met up with a young Baptist boy to answer her prayer, who would walk down the halls of tragedy with me. Who this young boy had spent this previous summer down in Mexico, passing out tracts, helping to win souls for the Lord, and he was building homes for the homeless. But he picked up company with her as they went outside the door. That's when they met Eric and Dylan, who she witnessed to just a couple of weeks before. And as they looked at her, recognizing who she was, remembering what she had said to them just a couple of weeks, they took the rifle and shot her twice through the chest. And as she fell to the ground and shot the other boy, they went to her, noticing that she was still alive. They told her to reject the Lord, and she said, I will never reject my Savior. And they pulled the trigger in her head. I want to tell you something, my friend. Amen. They might have said no to the Lord, but there's one young lady that said yes to the Lord. And others, when they went down the hallways, they began to shoot and went on a rampage. A teacher who was going through the hallway heard shots, and when they came around the corner, he saw Eric and Dylan. He pushed students out of the way and pushed them into classrooms. They shot him in the back as he dove into a room. When he fell into a room, his mouth busted on a desk and all his front teeth fell out. As he was bleeding on the floor, he died in the arms of his students. I want to tell you something, friend. As they walked down the hallway, as they went to the library, when they went to the library, Rachel, who died, was the first one to die. Her brother was in the library under the table. He was under there and he watched two boys who were right beside him. That one young black boy who was a football player. They called him bad names and took the shotgun and said, "Why? You might as well, amen." They said, you might as well get scared, boy, because you're going to die. And they shot him in the head and killed him. Then they killed the other boy beside Rachel's brother, but they never touched Rachel's brother. They turned around, and you know Cassie, the one that God delivered her. They said she was under the table. Another said she was up on a seat. Another said she was walking around. But Rachel's daddy said she was under the table in a prayer form on her knees, and she was praying. Then Rachel's daddy said, Mr. Scott said that they came to her and with hideous laughs. Amen. He believes that the spirits recognized her, but they came up to her and they said, do you believe in God? And you all know the rest of the story. And she gave her life for the Lord, but she said yes to the Lord. And I understand she might not have been holiness, but she gave her life and had a commitment in her heart to give her life to God. The two boys left out of there after the massacre and walked down to the hallways where they met their fate. And I want to tell you something. Well, they died in the library, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Those two boys were dealt with just several weeks, 2 weeks before they died and did this massacre and committed suicide. What am I preaching tonight? That God is sick of no. And God is using this incident at Columbine High School to reach young people, to stir the hearts of adults, to let us know that if God's taken out of schools, he's got ways through prayer to get back into there. I'll tell you something, my friend. God is sick of rejection. I believe tonight that God is raising up an army.
I believe that God is raising up young people who wants to do something for God. It may not be exactly standing behind the podium and preaching a brilliant message. It may not be singing a song until everybody shouts their hair down. But if you can stand for God and be consistent and be a man and woman of God, God needs a few good soldiers and a few good men and women that'll stand for His name. Why don't you lift your hands and worship the Lord? I believe tonight that the school systems, and I have a semester left, and then the Lord willing, I'll be teaching in the public school system in the elementary schools. But I have realized that many times just being in the atmosphere of the school, and some of you might be teachers, Sister Heath, wherever she might be, she's a school teacher. There might be others in here that might be school teachers. Amen. But there's a day, you know, the day we're living in when there's second and third graders. Amen. And you might as well, don't get mad at me because you hear worse, but they're necking and kissing in the corners. Second graders and third graders doing things that you would never dream right in the school building. I've seen it. I've heard it. And I want to tell you something, my friend. It's because there's nobody at home that wants to have God. Rejecting God, rejecting the message, won't go to church. It's because they're rejecting God's message of the hour. But God is going back into the schools His way with prayer and fasting of young people. But if it takes shedding of blood to get America back, then that's what God's going to do. I read in the scriptures tonight that God was sick of Noah. He said, amen, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, that God poured out His fury upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In our scriptures tonight, He said, I will set fire in Egypt. Now, many of you know tonight, I'm a rapture man. I love the rapture. I love the message. That's what helped me get saved. I love prophecy. I love the prophetic word of God. I love when the Lord moves upon His prophetic word. And I love the hope and the promises of the coming of the Lord. And I believe the Lord's coming before the seven-year tribulation, the Jacob's trouble. But friend, I want to tell you something. Amen. What happened at Columbine High School? Amen. I want to tell you something. We're not exempt from it. It could happen to us at our schools. Amen. It could happen at your factory. It could happen at your post office. It could happen in your very own home. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The reason why God's bringing judgment upon this country and upon the world is because of the rejection of the gospel message. They're saying no, 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 no. And God's getting fed up. And He's going to set fire to Egypt. He's going to set fire to the world. And the best thing that we can do in this hour is pray for those who ain't right with God. And I believe in this service that there is someone that is rejecting God and rejecting God and saying no to the gospel and to the conviction spirit. And I believe tonight that the Lord is reaching out for somebody to come and to call upon the Lord. Hallelujah. In verse 16, He said, no shall be rent asunder. You know, a lot of we holiness preachers, we want to take care of sin. Hey, man, I want to tell you something. If you let God take care of the no business, you let God get a hold of them with good old time Holy Ghost conviction, where it gets down on deep in their heart and get a hold of them. Amen. I like those type of services where you're in church and the power of God gets to moving. Amen. And the preacher doesn't have to walk back there and grab somebody by the hand. Amen. They don't have to do no such thing. You know what happens? I love it when the Spirit of God comes by, walks down the aisles and through the pews and gets a hold of somebody that ain't right with God and shakes them asunder like Job said. Job said, God took me by the neck and shook me to pieces. That's what we need tonight, is the Spirit of God getting a hold of somebody's heart and coming down here to the altar to pray. We have too many people tonight that wants to help God out too much. But I love services like this when God gives three messages in tongues and interpretation. And the Spirit of God gets a moving with conviction. And all that we have to do is sit here and be amazed when God is dealing with hearts. Amen. I believe tonight that somebody here is still rejecting God's Spirit. Many times people have said no to God, rejected His salvation and His promises. When Israel made a god and danced at the Mount of Sinai, they were saying no to God. When Saul disobeyed God and spared King Agag and kept the spoil, he was saying no to God. When Jesus told the young rich ruler to sell all that he had and give to the poor and follow him, he turned and walked away because his answer to the call was no. And then we have another time when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." But many said no. Amen. When Jesus was kissed by Judas, who betrayed him by night, Judas was saying no to the only way of salvation. When Jesus' own people crucified him on the cross, and they said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children," they were absolutely saying no, and they were rejecting their only way to God. I want to tell you what tonight, my friend, that God is not accepting the answer no. God wants your response yes, and the only way that you can do it is to let your heart fly open and let God walk in and say yes to the Lord. The enemies of Egypt, the enemies of sin, the enemies of no, the only way that they, like I said at the beginning, could destroy any of these cities was to take them out one by one. But from what I read from the commentaries and all that I could find, the only way that they could get a hold, amen, of sin was to get rid of no, because no was easier to get rid of. Hallelujah. Come on here, saints. Amen. They couldn't deal with sin. They were a little bit more powerful, had a few more numbers of men. But there was something about no, and the armies of the enemies would go to that city of no, and they would march to that city. They would surround the city, and they would commence a fight. And you know what would happen if they destroyed it? Amen. You know what would happen? Then they had free way to the city of sin, and they could destroy the city. Oh, how I'd like to see the Lord come by here tonight and take care of somebody's rejection. Take care of somebody's no. Oh. I believe the Spirit of God can move in unusual ways. My wife has been going, or had been going through some things for a while. She has been battling some things that's not sin, but some things that she was warring in her heart, you know, trying to keep from bitterness. Have you ever done that? Trying to battle bitterness away, trying to battle hurt away. Amen. I told Renee, I said, we need to pray and ask the Lord to move and give us a word of encouragement. Give us something from heaven that can help us, you know, and especially help her. And I was praying for her and asking the Lord to help her and to give her that deliverance that she needs, that help, that strengthening, that edification, whatever it needed to be by the Spirit of the Lord. Because I want to tell you something, saints, it's the Spirit of the Lord that makes the difference. Amen. Somebody came up to me and said, "Man, you can sing." I said, "No, I can't. I depend upon the anointing, and believe me, it ain't there all the time. And when he ain't there, you know, I just sit down." Amen. But it takes the anointing. It takes the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But we were in our home one night. Amen. Like every night. And all of a sudden, the phone rang. And I answered it, and it was Sister Princess. She never called me in her life. No, she never called my home. And she said, "Brother Daniel, I have something for Sister Renee." Woo-hoo. A word from home is always nice. Spirit of the Lord at work. Amen. And all of a sudden, she got to talking. And she said, "Brother Daniel, is Sister Renee in the home, in the house?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, she sure is. Can you get her on the other line?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And so I got her on the other line. And I said, "She's got a word. I know she does." And so she got on the line, and she got over there, and she picked it up. And I said, "There's Sister Princess. She's on the line. Sister Renee, this is Sister Princess." And Renee's like, "Oh, hey, y'all. Y'all doing all right?" And they got to talking, and I got to listening. And they talked for a while, and she was kind of just like breaking the ice, you know, and talking for a while, kind of socially, you know, just social talk. And then all of a sudden, that holy boldness came on her. Sister Renee, I have a word from the Lord for you. And I have scriptures. I've written them out. I'm going to write them out, and I'm going to send them to you. But I want to pray for you over the phone, and I want to tell you some things that the Lord has showed me. So she began to read these scriptures. I don't know what they are. Renee has them somewhere. She began to read these scriptures. Everything was right there. Everything met every need Renee had that she was battling. Is that right, Renee? Okay. Spirit of the Lord works. Miles doesn't mean nothing. Distance doesn't have nothing over God. And all of a sudden, Sister Princess got to, it's time to pray. Yes, ma'am, let's pray. And she said, let's pray. I mean, she got to praying. I mean, she boldly went before the Lord. And she began to ask the Lord to help and to move. And the Spirit of the Lord, I mean, Spirit of the Lord got to moving all the way from Ohio all the way down to South Georgia. And I mean, we got to feeling it in our living room and in the kitchen. You know me, when I'm on the phone, I'm walking back and forth, you know, and I walk back and forth when I'm on the phone. Renee's sitting there on the chair. I hear her crying, and the Spirit of the Lord reached all the way from Ohio to down to Georgia, began to break something. I could see Renee in there crying and crying before the Lord. And all of a sudden, she got to speaking in tongues and giving those messages. And the Lord began to talk, and I mean, that did everything for us. Amen. When God, amen, got to moving, because one lady in Ohio who loves the Lord, amen, who loves the Lord very much and prays and seeks God and had a message from the Lord, amen, but the Lord came in, because God still moves, and I believe He does tonight. That's what He did here tonight. God came by here and gave three messages for somebody to open up their heart to trust in Him, amen, and to seek His face. I want to tell you something. You may have problems in your life. You may have some things in your life you don't tell anybody else because you say it's nobody else's business. And it might not be nobody else's business. But when you come to God's house, it's God's business. And I believe God's been moving in here tonight for a reason. I believe tonight there's people here that may have bitterness in your heart. Amen. Because when I was telling that about Renee, I felt something strong that there's bitterness in people's heart. Oh, things in a heart. Amen. You got to get rid of the bitterness. And you all know I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. I'm not here. I'm too far away to know anything. But there's some bitterness in your hearts. Sure, you got your long hair and all that good stuff. But if bitterness is in your heart, that can hold you back from victory. Keep the Spirit from moving in your life. I believe tonight that even saints of God who've been saved for years have allowed things to come into their hearts, Brother Richard, and they also reject God when He speaks. You know why I know, Brother Harper? You know why I know? Because when God spoke tonight, I felt resistance here in the pews from some folks. Amen. You've been saved for years. You've been praying for years. But there's some things that God's been dealing with in your heart. And you're still saying no. But God is saying that He's going to deal with it. Because the power of God and the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. She got to tell you. God is sick of no. God is long-suffering. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. But when God's own children go along His way and say no, 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 and reject the calling of the Spirit, you know what God does? He gets sick of it, and He'll have to deal with it. There's somebody here right now. You need to pray. You can say, Brother Daniel, you're using a scare tactic. No. Holy Ghost doesn't come on me like that all the time. I have my favorite preachers out of this church. Brother Collins is my favorite. is he my pastor. And I appreciate all the other brethren who preach here, Brother Dennis, Brother Mike, and this brother here, and the other brothers. Brother Andy Johnson's one of my other favorite preachers. A lot of people may not understand Brother Andy, but I worked with him a time when I was younger. I raked leaves with him. I cleaned out gutters with him. And you may not know him, but I do. And some of you know him better than I do. But when he works, he prays. God save my daddy. God save my daddy.